Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here at church, especially if this is your first time joining us. You are our very special guest indeed, and I want to welcome you personally. I think you're going to like it here. Our slogan here is no perfect people allowed. We want to let you know, and we want to remind ourselves as well, who call this just home, that there's no such thing as perfect people, and that's why we are in need of God's grace, and God has made that available to all of us 2,000 years ago when He gave us Jesus. When He died on that cross, He paid for our sins, and when you believe in Him, the Bible says you will have eternal life. That's the good news for every single one of you. That good news is available to anyone who wants to receive it. I want to welcome also our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in. Well, before we dive into our brand new series this morning called See the World, I just want to remind you about what's coming up in our church, because this is really important. The Global Leadership Summit is coming up in a couple of weeks, 19th to 20th of October. I went to the Bunbury site this week to support my friend, Pastor Dale Hewitt, and I sit through the session. Let me tell you, you wouldn't want to miss it in terms of the quality of the sessions. Just so amazing. And more than 350 people, leaders, have already registered to come to our site. It'll be a tragedy for you who call this just home to miss out. So we have about 40 tickets left. Somewhere around there. So you want to register, especially at the special host rate of $99. It's usually $135 or something like that. Please make sure you join. GLS17 Perth, that's the code for you to get that rate, or just go to the connection desk. And last week, I thank God, through the generosity of all of you, we actually have made a difference in 27 more children who are being released from poverty through your generosity. And that's not all. Because we have been a partner with Compassion for a while. So all together, we have 145 children being sponsored through our church in Jesus' name. And that's because of your generosity as well. I definitely belong to the right crowd. I belong to a crowd who is so, so very generous. And that's what we're here for. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the world. Which is why I'm also excited to let you know that our own Ian and Susan Kruger are leaving for Kenya tomorrow night, I think. I think it is tomorrow night. Ian and Susan, are you here? Anyway, would you come up here? They have availed themselves to be missionaries to Kenya. And on the last day that they're here in Perth, they still managed to find time to serve. So maybe you've been greeted by them as you walk through the doors of our church, and they're just amazing. So I want us as a church to support them. I want us to pray for them. I want us to ask God for protection upon their lives as they serve God, serve the people of Kenya for God in that country. So we want to pray for them. They're going to come back to be among us again, I think December. So that's what they do. They just go to Africa and they just bless people. They have partnership with the local communities over there that they bless. They will train people and so on. It's going to be fantastic. So would you help me in praying for them? Extend your hand towards them as a sign of God's blessing that we want to give to them. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for Ian and Susan and their faithfulness in following your call to be wherever you sent them. And Father, thank you that through the examples of their lives, Lord, they will bring such glory to yourself. A lot of people will come to know Jesus because of them. Lord, I pray for journey mercy as they travel. I pray for protection as they spend time with the people of Kenya. I pray, Lord, that you will just give them opportunities to connect with the people over there and open doors, Lord, that make it possible for Jesus' name to be proclaimed loud and clear to as many people as possible. And we as a church, Lord, are so privileged to be able to be a part of this. We promise, Lord, that we will remember them. We pray for them, Lord. We want to support them in any way that we can, so that, Lord, your gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth. Thank you so much. So once again, we want to commit them into your mighty hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. 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 Give them a hand one more time, guys. All right. I'm so excited about our brand new series, See the World. Before we start, I'd like to begin by saying that we don't see the world the same way, do we? We see the world differently. You know, my wife and I, we love each other so much, but we have a different idea of a good vacation. We see vacation differently. Hulda's idea of a perfect vacation would be to get up at obscenely early hour in the morning so that we wouldn't waste any time, so that we could explore as many exciting new places as possible. That's Hulda's idea of a perfect vacation. My idea of a perfect vacation is to sleep in. I think it's a crime to wake up early on your holiday, to sleep in, order room service, go to the pool, eat burger, sleep again, watch TV. That is my idea of a perfect vacation. Who's with me? Oh. And Hilda says, you can watch TV in Perth at home. I said, but babe, it's different. Watching TV in Bali is so much better than watching TV in Perth. We see the world differently. We see mess differently. Hulda can see a mess. I can't see a mess. So from time to time, she would come to me and say, would you tidy up your office? It's a mess. I said, what mess? Just a couple of old mugs I haven't washed for a year and pizza box that may or may not have pizza in it. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. My dad and I, we see the world differently as well. We both like to arrive at the airport on time when we go on holiday, except his idea of being on time, and I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating, is to arrive 3 hours before your flight. And my idea of being on time is when the PA announced your name, attention, Mr. Daniel, in the dryer. That's what they call me through the PA system, in the dryer. Attention, Mr. Daniel in the dryer. Please come to get 8 because we are closing very soon. And when I hear that announcement, and it happens a few times in my life, I said, yes, I am right on time. Not wasting any time here. See, we see the world differently. Let me tell you why we see the world differently. Because we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. We see the world as we are conditioned to see it. That's what Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, say. And I agree with him, right? We don't realize it. We think we see the world, you know, objectively. We think we're the most neutral person on earth. We don't think we're seeing anything through any lens, when actually, no, you think you're wearing a clear set of lens, when actually, maybe, you're seeing things through a set of different lens that you don't even realize. How cool do I look in this? How amazing is that? See, we think we're very objective. Actually, the way you see the world have been shaped by the internet, have been shaped by the way you were brought up, have been shaped by your religion, have been shaped by your parents, have been shaped by a lot of different things. So we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Which means it is possible that you might be holding on to a worldview that is actually holding you back. It is very possible, right? That's why what I want you to do throughout this series, to just have an open mind to the possibility that there might be a better way of seeing the world. I have a friend who had cancer, and he told me, and he beat the cancer, by the way. He was in a late-stage cancer as well. He beat that cancer, and he said, Daniel, I can tell you, my wife can be seen in two parts, my life before cancer and my life after cancer. You know what he did? He changed his diet. The way he saw food change, the way he saw sugar, soft drink, you know, change. And he said, they used to be very attractive to me, but now they're not attractive anymore. What changed? The soda is still there. The way he sees the world has changed. What if there is a better way for you to see the world? I believe you're here for a reason. I believe you're here because God wants you here. Assuming God exists, God wants you to see the world the way he sees the world. Maybe you ask, like, why is that? Why does God want me to see the world the way he sees it? Well, let me answer that question with another question, all right? Wouldn't it be great if we can make others see the world the way we see the world? Wouldn't it be great if you as a worker can get your boss to see your work the way you see it? We always complain, the boss doesn't know what's going on right here. We work so hard. Wouldn't it be great if you can do that? If you're a boss, if you're a business owner, Wouldn't it be great if your employees can see your business the way you see your business? I'm telling you, you would make a lot more profit if your employees can see your business the way you see it as an owner, right? See, we do that all the time. Husbands, we wish our wives to see the world the way we see it. Husbands ask questions like this all the time. How do I get my wife to see sex the way I see sex? How do I get my wife to see money the way I see money? How do I get my wife to see sex the way I see sex? Right? And our challenge, let me tell you, our challenge as a parent is, how do I get my children to see the world the way I see the world? How do I get Jaden to see sugar the way I see sugar? How do I get Jaden to see friends the way I see friends? See, that's why as parents we ask this all the time, when we say this all the time, someday you'll understand what I mean. Someday you'll understand the importance of math. Someday you'll understand the importance of study. See, because when you see as I see, you will do as I say. Guess what, folks? God is your heavenly Father. He wants you to see the world. If only you could see the world the way He sees the world. God's desire is for you to see the world the way He sees the world. You know why? Because when you see as God sees, you are more inclined to do as God says. Maybe the reason you've been struggling in following God's will for your life, it's because you don't see the world the way He sees the world. That's why the takeaway right now for all of us throughout this series is to keep asking God that question. Get in the habit of asking God, God, help me to see as you see. Help me to see marriage the way you see marriage. Help me to see my business the way you see business. Help me to see my church the way you see my church. See, if you ask God this question, if you're in the habit of asking God this question, I may tell you, I kid you not, you will be a very, very wise person. Because a wise person is not just a smart person, but a person who can see the world the way God sees the world. And right now, I want to take a look at the slice of the world that's very, very important to us. I want us to talk about, for the next 20 minutes or so, to talk about time. How does God see time? It's extremely important for us to see time the way God sees time. Because time is actually all of our life, isn't it? That's the whole of our life. Time is so valuable that we attach the same verb, the same word that we use with money, we use that with time. So we say things like spending time, investing time, wasting time. So it's important for us to see time the way that God sees time, right? It's so valuable to us. That is the most valuable resource that you have. And this is very true as well. At the end of your life, many of you will spend a lot of money trying to buy more time. I mean, you would do that for your loved ones, right? You would spend a lifetime of investment, a lifetime of savings in order to buy more time for your loved ones. You do that, and for good reasons. Why not, right? Or let me flip it another way. What if I could buy some of your time? What if there was a technology that would allow me to take away 5 years of your life and add it to mine? So that means you live 5 years shorter. How much would you sell your time? How much is the last 6 months of your life worth to you if I can buy it off you? It's a very challenging question, isn't it? Because we know time is so very valuable to us. So that's why it's important for us to ask this question. God, how do you want me to see time? How do you want me to see time? So right now, this morning, we want to learn from a guy, a very famous guy, in the Old Testament. His name is Moses. You don't have to be a Christian to know about him. If you watch the Ten Commandments, Moses is the famous person who was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh and lived in opulence, in the palace, right? He lived to be 120 years. So he knew a little bit about time, let me tell you. And like I said, he grew up in opulence, in ultimate luxury. He was the grandson of the most powerful, the richest man on earth at the time, the Pharaoh. But when he was about 40 years old, he was struck with a bad case of purpose. Maybe he went through a midlife crisis, I don't know. But suddenly, everything that he has means nothing to him. And he's decided to choose purpose over worldly pleasure. Now, let me give you a tip before I continue. Anytime you read about someone or meet someone who left everything in order to do something unselfish, you want to listen to that person. Let me say it again. Anytime you read about someone or meet someone who walked away from a lot in order to do something unselfish, you want to pay attention to what that person has to say. And Moses is such a person. That's why we want to listen to what Moses had to say about time. And he wrote one of the oldest psalms, if not the oldest psalm. It was written about 1300 BC, Psalm 90, where he talks so eloquently about time. Basically, what he was trying to say, if I can summarize it for you, is this. It's very simple. That there is no purpose apart from context. When you want to know how you should spend your time, when you want to find a purpose for your life, Moses will say to you that there is no purpose to your life apart from context. How many of you have ever pulled out something from a drawer and you ask, like, what is this? You don't know what it's for. It's worthless to you. And then your husband or your wife screams, oh, that's for. And then suddenly what was worthless to you becomes useful because you know the context. In fact, let me illustrate. How many of you have something like this at home? Like a shoebox. Inside is filled with all kinds of cables. You have this cable, this adapter. You know, how many have something like this? And you ask, what is this? What is this? What does it connect to? It means nothing to you, right? And then somebody like your husband or your wife will say, oh, that's for, that's the cord for, that's an adapter for, it connects to, and then suddenly it makes sense, right? Otherwise, without context, without knowing where this thing connects to, it doesn't make sense to you. It's worthless to you. That's why some of you wives have, you know, thrown away stuff that your husband desperately needs. You throw away screw, you know, like your husband would put it on top of a cupboard and say, what is this thing? It's worthless. So you chuck it away. And then a week later, your husband says, honey, did you see that screw that I put on top of that cabinet? And then you said, I threw it away. I thought it was for nothing. What? Right? The whole enterprise that you're trying to build fall apart because that's the only screw in the whole wide world that connects to something that you're trying to build, right? It's worthless to you. And wife, you do the same, right? We don't understand. Why do you have to get that stuff? Yeah, but why do you have to have 20 of them? You know, we don't understand. If only my husband can see shoes the way I see shoes. Hulda sometimes would come to me and say, do you like my new boots? I said, haven't you had that boots before? This is different. Really? Okay. Anyway, where was I? So your life means nothing apart from the context, yeah? So Moses would start Psalm 90 by giving us the context of our life. And he says this, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, this is a very advanced thinking back in the days. Because back in the days, the prevailing belief system is that, you know, there's no such thing as everlasting to everlasting. The Egyptians, for example, Moses grew up in Egypt. The Egyptian worship the gods called Ra, right? His first name is Hu. Anyway, some of you will get it. See, there are two theories how Ra came to be. One was that Ra was created by another god, The second theory was that Ra was self-created, which is an amazing trick for Ra to self-create, because you know what that means? That means Ra has to exist before he existed in order to create his own existence. Can you imagine that? That's why I'm a theist. So Moses' idea, no, this God is immaterial, he's uncreated, he is from everlasting to everlasting. And he's telling us that God's eternal existence is actually the context for our lives and how we should view time. Because your time doesn't exist in isolation, all right? Your time exists in the context of God's eternal existence. Then Moses went on to say this, "You, that is God, turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" This is the most Gandalf-like statement in the whole Bible. "Return to dust, you mortals." I love that. Then he said, "1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." That's 3 hours. That's how insignificant, that's how small our life is. And he expands this idea. He says, "Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning." How are our lives like the new grass in the morning? Well, Moses explains, in the morning, the new grass, springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered. Your life is very, very short. Our time here on earth is short. We show up late and we leave early. That's what we do. Before you came to be, whenever you were born, God has always been there from everlasting. After you die, God will always be there still, much, much longer after you die. So our time on earth is short. You have to view your life, you have to view your time in the context of God's eternal existence. So maybe you're asking a question, well, if life is so insignificant, if life is so short, so what's the point of life? What's the point of life? Which is a great question, and Moses wants you to arrive at that question because that is a purpose question, isn't it? It's like you digging up into this shoebox and pulling out this cable and ask, "What's this for?" Right? It's like you pulling out yourself out of the box and ask, "What's this short life? What's this short life for?" See, it is a very, very important question because without it, let me tell you, you are like a phone cord without a phone. You're like an adapter with nothing to adapt to if you don't understand your purpose in life. See? But if you pull out yourself from a box like this, "Oh, my life is a part of, my life connects to, my life is for," suddenly your life makes a lot of sense because you are not created in isolation. You are not created to exist for yourself. Your life goes with, and guess what? Your life goes with something other than you. Just like these cables, these adapters, they go with something other than themselves, right? So Moses said, if you don't understand this, you may make a lot of money. You may be rich and powerful as far as the world is concerned, but your life will be miserable without its proper context. Moses says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. 70, 80 years, that's the average of human life, right? Somebody told me, and if you can imagine the day of the week as 10 years of your life, so Monday will be your first 10 years, Tuesday will be the second 10 years, Wednesday is the next 10 years, and Sunday, right, Monday to Sunday, Sunday will be your, if you're in the 70s. I'm on Thursday afternoon right now, all right? I'm close to the weekend, let me tell you. Some of you have, you maybe, is there anyone here over 80? I mean, that means you have a long weekend. Good news for you. But Moses says, our days are short, 70, 80 years if our strength endures. Yet, the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and then we fly away. That means if your life is without purpose, yes, you may make a lot of money, as I said. Yes, you may accomplish much in life, but it means nothing to you without its proper context. That's why Moses continued and said, if we only knew. That's why you got to see the world the way God sees the world. If only we knew. If only you knew. If only God says, if only you knew. What is it? This is not very helpful. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. What does that mean? See, when you read the Bible, you have to read the Bible in its context as well, right? Especially when you read the Old Testament. The Old Testament has to be interpreted in light of the New Testament. You see, God is a gracious God. We know that from Jesus. God is a loving God. We know that from Jesus. But we also know that God is just. We also know that God is wrathful towards sin. That God hates sin so much. You know how much God hates sin? He wants to destroy sin. And even if it means sending His own Son to die on the cross. So if I can paraphrase what Moses says, it'll be like this. If we knew or could see God as He is, then we would give Him the reverence that He is due. Yeah. Because we take God for granted all the time. Especially because of Jesus. We think that God is, you know, friendly with us. And He is. We think that God is very close to us. And He is. Because Jesus' death, you know, tore away the separation that divides the holy from the holy of holies, so we can have access to God. But don't forget for a second, you mortals, right? That God is an amazingly powerful God. He is sovereign. When Moses saw the glimpse of God at Mount Sinai, his face shone so bright, even a mere reflection of God's glory, the people couldn't stand it. Moses had to put a veil over his face so that people, you know, would not be, like, consumed. People sometimes tell me, oh, God came to me last night. I said, no, He didn't. Because you will melt when God, if God comes to you. Maybe, I'm not saying you're lying, you know, maybe His angel come to you or what, but, you know, we don't give God the proper respect that is due. We don't understand how mighty, how powerful He is. He's wrathful towards sin. He's gracious toward you. He loves you so much, right? So we have to understand that. We have to understand that. You are created by God on purpose for a purpose. There's a reason why you're here. You're not here just to take up space. You have to understand your context. Otherwise, you'll be like an 8-track tape. How many of you know an 8-track tape without nothing to play you in? You'd be like a 1G phone without any network to connect you to. How many of you still have the 1G phone? Maybe you can sell it on eBay for a lot of money because it's antique now, but it'll be useless, right? You'll be like a CD without a CD player. This week I talked to Jaden. Did you see my CD? Jaden said, what's a CD? He doesn't even know what a CD is. We all play music through iPod and Spotify now. You know, that's crazy. That's our life. Without its context, you're like a video cassette without a video player to play you in. You have nothing. So, but Moses is trying to tell us that we are created on purpose for a purpose. Now, he lands the plane by telling us this. So, in light of all of that, teach us to number our days. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let me tell you, the question of purpose is not first and foremost, what am I here for? The question of purpose, first and foremost, is who am I here for? When you understand that you are created by God on purpose, maybe your parents think you're an accident, but let me tell you, if you're here, you are created by God on purpose. God wants you here for a purpose. So I want us to say this together as a church, because this is important as we go through this series. Say out loud with me on the count of three. Doesn't work. Can you help me advance this, Casey? I am created by God on purpose for a purpose. Let's say this out loud. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I am created by God on purpose for a purpose. Let's do that one more time. One, two, three. I am created by God on purpose for a purpose. Like I said, you're not here to just take up space. And I'm thankful, I'm grateful that I belong to a church that understands this. I'm grateful that I'm surrounded by 265 volunteers in our church who understand that their lives are so much more than just their business, that their lives are so much more than raising up a great family, that their lives are so much more than earning a lot of money in this world. In fact, let me tell you, if you are a successful person, if you are successful in this world, successful in this life, money should bore you to death if you're a Christ follower. Let me say it again. If you're a Christ follower, you're successful, but you have no purpose, no meaning in life, money shouldn't excite you so much already. It should bore you to death. The truth is, your life is meant to be so much larger than just your successful business, your successful family, and everything. And those are great, by the way. I don't want you to start leaving your job or shutting down your business and become a missionary somewhere, unless that's what God called you to do. Even in the simple things in life, you can find meaning and purpose when you see your life in the context of everlasting to everlasting. See? I'm glad that our church is created by God on purpose for purpose as well. I believe this is just a beginning for our church. I believe we're meant to be in this community for a reason. You know, a lot of people in our community still don't know the love of Jesus, that God is gracious toward them, that God loves them, that God doesn't hate them. And I believe God has called us to be a church that the unchurched people love to attend, a church that doesn't condemn, a church that understands what it means to be the love of Jesus Christ in a tangible way for our community, you see. And I want you to help us. See, if you haven't, you know, you've been here a while, maybe you're thinking about volunteering, but maybe you haven't gotten around to it, this is as good an opportunity as any for you to start finding meaning and purpose in your life. So maybe on your seat, there's a card that you can fill in, go to Connection Desk and say, hey, what do you need? I'm available. If it's something I can do, I'll do it. Because I believe God has called us into something so great in our midst that it is worth all the sacrifice that we can give Him. It's worth our money. It's worth our time. It is worth everything. On the other hand, if you don't see our lives in a context of eternity to eternity, I don't want you to regret your life at the end of your life, maybe 70, 80 years, and you say, oh man, where has the time gone? What have I done with my life? Am I satisfied with all this? I don't want you to be in that place where you regret what could have been, right? Teach us, Lord, to number our days. We're good at celebrating birthday every year, and that's great. But Moses says, I can do you one better. Don't just count your birthdays every year. Count your day every single day. Teach us to number our days. Because when you do, you will be very, very wise. You will have a heart of wisdom. Let me pray for us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.